our text is from Ephesians 4. These words, eager to attain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, it's not as if there's only one way to maintain peace. It's not as if there's only one way to do that. But there are, in fact, many ways to maintain peace. Now, assuming that we want to live in peace, that we don't want to be arguing constantly with those around us, assuming for a moment that we actually do wish to live in peace and be at peace, we must admit that there is more than one way to accomplish this goal. For example, if we find ourselves in constant conflict with those around us because they think one thing and we think another thing, we could simply leave. We'd go away. Move out. Find a place where we're not confronted and challenged and insulted or simply despised. Yes, here in Minnesota there are thousands of cabins up north, and the same is true for Wisconsin and for Michigan and for Maine. And all of these cabins, do they exist as places for people to go to? Or for people to have a place in order to get away from all those around them? To experience peace by extricating themselves from conflict. Let's call that type of peace a get-out-of-dodge type of peace. Of course, another way to achieve peace with those around us is simply no longer to disagree with them. That is, no longer to challenge them and their foolish ideas, their idiotic logic. No longer to seek to demonstrate to them just how foolish they actually are. Yes, a whole lot of peace can be achieved by simply no longer engaging in war, in battle, even if that battle is a rhetorical one. Now, we can call that a go-along to get-along type of peace. Of course, we could also achieve peace if we had the financial means to do so by insisting that all those around us think and believe and act and speak just like we do, or we will no longer support them financially or any other way. This peace is a my way or the highway type of peace. And it's one that can be used in all sorts of situations in which one person or a group of people or an organization or a corporation or a foundation is willing to generously support people financially, but only if there's compliance, only if there's assent, and lack of criticism of the one supplying the support. Again, we can call that a my way or the highway type of peace. Fair agreements, legally, of course, have a way of establishing some sort of peace. We can call that a piece of paper peace, a piece of paper peace. Wars do as well in a variety of ways establish peace, not the least of which is by defeating the one army that had destroyed the peace. And we can call that an eliminating the belligerents type of peace. Or in the realization after a contracted conflict, that life is better than death. Sure, issues are not resolved, but anything is better than war, at least so it is thought, so we can call that a life is better than death type of peace. And of course, that same idea that peace is always better than conflict can lead to a type of peace, a peace with which we are all only too familiar. And that is a peace that is predicated upon the idea that we are not going to speak with each other at all, at least about substantive matters. Instead, we're all going to do what we want to do and then rain hellfire down upon anyone who dares to question anything we have said or have done. That is, we agree to disagree, and in that agreement about disagreement, we're at peace, or at least so it seems. So, What type of peace is the peace mentioned in our text? The peace that is mentioned, it's printed there on our bulletin cover. Well, is the peace spoken of by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Ephesian Christians a get-out-of-dodge type of peace? Is it a go-along-to-get-along type of peace? Is it a my-way-or-the-highway type of peace? A piece of paper peace. An eliminate the belligerents peace. A life is better than death peace. Or an agree-to-disagree peace. Well, doesn't seem to be any of those. Doesn't seem to be any of those. For the unity spoken of by the Apostle Paul is a unity among us, among Christians, created by the Holy Spirit of God within us. The Holy Spirit who comes to us through the Word of God, and would that all of our hearts and minds and souls consider each other in love. Yes, in this love-created unity of the Spirit, there's a unity of hearts, a unity of minds, a unity of souls, and the realization of the freedom from sin and death and hell, which is ours through faith in Jesus Christ. All Christians, every single one of them, receive this freedom when the Holy Spirit works within them. Faith is created, and in that freedom of the forgiveness of sin, life, and salvation through faith in Christ, we then can love one another. Our unity flowing from our status as sons and daughters of God. I mean, we all have this same treasure, don't we? We've all been gifted by the Holy Spirit. That is faith in our hearts, which releases to us the righteousness of Christ. All Christians, we share this wonderful treasure in full, and from this treasure can serve our neighbor in love. That's the basis for the unity that exists among Christians. For Christian unity, it's not based upon our age. It's not based upon our race, or our gender, our nationality, our income level, our political philosophy, our educational attainment, or our athletic prowess. No, Christian unity is not based upon any of these worldly structures and constructs and artifices, but that does not mean that Christian unity is absolutely perfect in its existence. Christians coming to faith immediately and without reservation embrace wholeheartedly all other Christians. No. And why is that? Why is that? Well, one of the reasons is that we're not completely and totally sanctified. Nor will we ever be in this life. We never will be. Until we die, we're constantly confronted by a part of us that does not want to be at peace with others. If being at peace with others means it must give up its independence, its freedom, its point of view. So challenged we are by ourselves. And so we do not always present ourselves to others in the best light possible. Bad day, bad experience, bad event, and we can be hard to relate to, let alone speak with, in any meaningful manner. So, what does that mean? Does it mean at that moment that we no longer are Christians? By no means. It means we are Christians comprised of bodies and souls that are spiritually defective, living within a world that is spiritually infected with sin. Thus, even as we've been gifted the Holy Spirit, as have all other Christians, we must act with each other in humility and in gentleness and patience and bear with one another, striving to achieve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. For that is what the Holy Spirit would have us do. Pushing us, prodding us, encouraging us, moving us to be united with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Not for any other reason than that is what we are moved to do. So Christians united in the Holy Spirit are at peace, not because they've gotten out of dodge or are going along to get along or would not cause trouble to keep the blessings going or have signed some sort of piece of paper or have rid the church of all belligerents or decided themselves not to cause trouble. Or have simply agreed to disagree. No. The bond of peace to which we are called by the Holy Spirit is that which is the ultimate expression of the culture of Christianity, if we want to put it that way. Who are Christians? Those whose lives are peace, a true peace, and who strive perpetually for peace and would be at peace. And how is that peace achieved by the Holy Spirit among Christians? In the calling of us all to one hope for salvation and everlasting life in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, one faith in that same Jesus Christ through one Father, by means of one baptism into the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So think of this. Our unity as Christians is an expression of the nature of God Himself, who exists as Father and Son and Holy Spirit in harmony. Three persons, one essence. And we as Christians, millions and billions of Christians, but one Lord, one faith, one baptism, in which then we are eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that really is the only true peace that actually exists. For the peace which the Holy Spirit would create within us is the peace of the one whom created us and all that exists. A peace that originally existed in the Garden of Eden until it was infected by sin, ending in conflict and jealousy and death. So, I've told this story before, but it is a story that demonstrates the peace that existed originally in creation before the fall. A peace in which we all can live through faith in Jesus Christ. So the story. In Alaska, Denali National Park. When you go backpacking there, you must register at the park ranger station and tell them when you're leaving and where you are going and when you expect to be back. Well, having done some trekking around the glacial plain at the base of Mount McKinley, I was heading back up to the ranger station, which was on the road that runs into the park, but between me and that station was a herd of about 30 caribou. My thinking, if I walk toward the caribou, they're just going to run away. Well, I walked toward the caribou, and they did not run away. They just stood there, looking at me. And so what did I do? I walked right through the middle of them, getting to within a few feet of individual animals. Don't try this at home. I was 19 or 20 and I felt invincible. Well, talking about this later with others, the consensus was that since the caribou had not had any negative interaction with human beings in the past, they were not frightened of me. And I thought, this is how it must have been in the Garden of Eden, with Adam and Eve and all the animals, with the peace that reigned there, with no fear or anger or distrust or misunderstanding. And that's how it is with peace, isn't it? When we're at peace with someone, we can walk right up to them and talk to them with no fear or doubt or thought that somehow we'll be misunderstood and somehow the peace between us will be shattered. Well, as I made it through that herd of caribou, I was greeted by a park ranger coming down the path toward me with a high-powered rifle. Why? On the other side of the building was a grizzly ripping apart a squirrel he had caught in front of a bunch of tourists. So the world, violence, death, and often merely for the purpose of entertainment. I was escorted up to the building, and all was fine, but so the experience of peace, Spirit-created peace amongst us, that can take place in a world where there is violence and death. Constant reminder that we indeed should always in Christ our Savior be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.